The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports,
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 sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and if you're one of our friends to the east, I hope you're in your car listening to this going somewhere other than where you are, or you're already there. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Ravel, the Voldemort. You want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message, Aaron will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. And you can watch us on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/ESPN975. Comment on there, and we will be happy to read your comments. And it's a Wednesday where we do things a little bit differently. When you call, text, tweet, Twitch, whatever you do, put odds on it. What are the odds today?
I'm excited to preview the Rockets-Thunder game tonight. Woo, baby! Let's get on! I've got a numbers breakdown like you wouldn't believe. And it's all about tonight's big matchup.
Over-under on Rockets three-pointers tonight. Three-point
attempts.
We'll
get into that. That's one of them. Well, The Rockets are the best three-point attempting team in league history. So we'll talk about that. Aaron, what's the score on the Bucks Magic game? I'm sure that's an exciting one, and then we'll get to the Lakers Blazers game later on in the show.
If you bet the under on the Bucks Magic, do you cash?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Because it's under right now, and it's not going over.
I've noticed. I've been watching it on my Score app, and it's a defensive struggle. Apparently, Giannis is just trying to shoot threes the whole game.
You know what?
He's trying to pull the Dame Lillard from half court with every possession.
Giannis is like, I'm done driving. He's like the Rockets. I'm done driving to the hoop. I'm strictly here to chuck threes, baby.
People smack you on the wrist when you go to the hoop. That hurts.
Yeah, you don't want that. That might get you to the foul line, which would give you a chance for, guess what, a three-point play.
As an aside, I really like that Score app, but my one beef with it is they keep showing every game that's been postponed, like CFL games.
You think they just like wipe it off the board?
It's just like they're rubbing it in, like the preseason NFL games and stuff like that. It's like, I know they're canceled. I don't need to see that on here. Well, let's see. Where do we start? We've got Stormageddon about to destroy our friends to the east. We're going to have Eric Berger on at 4:30 to talk about that, by the way.
Berger.
Is that
Berger with an E or a U?
With an E. But I worked with him at the Chronicle. He's a space and weather guy. He's a genius. He is the best follow for all weather stuff at Space City WX. And he's not a guy who does worst case scenario stuff. Today he was tweeting out about some really bad stuff on this thing. So I thought we'd have him on today to talk about it because that certainly opened my eyes. And I've had a couple of people tell me the same thing. If you guys are over, I guess, east of the parkway, and we'll get Eric to give you a better idea, and you're near the coast, man, get the hell out of there.
Yeah, that's the wise decision, it seems like. I would say if you have the opportunity, and I guess you still got some time. The wind is coming, though.
Yeah, you still got time to get out of there, but you need to get out of there now if you're near the coast because they're talking about a 20-foot storm surge, and I don't know how far that's going to take.
Well, and they're also talking about 155-mile-an-hour wind gusts.
Yeah, which, that you know,
that's not good.
That's a lot.
You don't want to be there when that happens.
Yeah, I actually had to block a couple people on Twitter today.
Why?
Because, you know, I'm all for jokes, but somebody was saying something to the effect of, oh, we really dodged a bullet, suck it, Lake Charles. And I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, we dodged a bullet that's going to hit somebody else no matter what. I don't think wishing evil on Lake Charles is very funny, frankly, because, you know, this thing's no joke. And this is somebody whose house was flooded during Harvey. So I blocked him.
Well,
am I overreacting?
No.
Because I just don't have a sense of humor about it, because we have a lot of listeners that have already been through crap and over in that area, and Imelda last year in Winnie, and you know, all of Beaumont and Orange and Port Arthur and all that, that are, you know, that maybe just got their places rebuilt, that are about to get destroyed again. We've got a lot of friends over there. I mean, they're all part of the Blitz family. I don't wish this evil on them. I wanted it farther east, where it hit an area where there wasn't many people. And, you know, I
think that's what we all want. We want the fewest people affected as possible.
Right. And
you know where I would, if you know what would be a better place for hurricanes to land? The ocean.
Yeah, just stay there. You know, you thrive out there.
How come they never just hit water and be like, oh, look at all this devastation. All these fish are out of a home now.
I killed a shark.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And it's like, no, it always has to try to like keep going until it finds land. And then once it finds land, it's like, okay, now that I've ruined some lives, I'll slow down a little
bit. But it's like a giant bumblebee. Once it stings, it dies.
Yeah.
So just stay out there and do your honey
just
in the water.
Just buzz around.
Yeah, that's fine. Be happy. But, you know, not really. When they go into northern Mexico, that's always the best because it's just desert.
I also have a good idea.
What's that?
What if we extend the Galveston seawall across the entire southern coast and raise it up about 40 feet?
Can we make Mexico pay for it?
Yeah. Well, make the hurricanes pay for it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. You want to come into our land? It's going to cost you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steven says that surge will travel 30 to 40 miles inland. That's like a tsunami, man.
Now think about that. If we, wow, that is ridiculous. That's what I asked yesterday. If is it going to be like a tsunami? And I think,
yeah, I thought you were joking.
No, I was serious. No, and everybody like laughed at me. But I mean, it sounds crazy. And something like that. Oh, I'm. You know how I feel about the city of New Orleans. I got a feeling it's going to be ugly here. But Louisiana survived many a hurricane. In fact, when I lived in Louisiana and I bought my dream car, I restored it and it was beautiful. I had a turquoise 1969 Cadillac DeVille convertible with a 472 cubic inch engine, and it was cherry, baby. And guess what happened? I was working offshore when the hurricane hit, and I got off that helicopter, and my car was full of fish and water and just ruined forever. Ruined. Yeah. And, yeah, if Louisiana's obviously we've had some rough ones here, but Louisiana seems to get the majority of them.
Yeah. And honestly, Florida's gotten some bad ones too.
In hindsight, the French are probably looking back. We always think like Louisiana Purchase, we got this great deal. In hindsight, the French are like, hey, we got them. We tricked the American again. Hey, and here we are. Maybe that was an insensitive joke. I just thought about Louisiana Purchase and it just seems like less of a good deal now. I apologize. I didn't mean to be insensitive.
They might want a refund.
I do love Louisiana, though, and I lived there for some time in Lafayette, and as you know, I go to New Orleans every single year except for this year.
Yeah, I usually go every year. I haven't been now for a couple of years because something came up last year, but no, I love it over there, and we've got listeners all the way to Lake Charles that we see all the time. Hell, when we used to go to the Nugget, they all come out.
Yep. And I hope they're all hiding. And I hope all of our listeners in the Mont and Port Arthur and Orange and, you know, wherever, Jasper and Vider and what are some of those other funny name places?
China's over there.
China. I hope you guys are all out of the way, man.
Orange.
I hope you're Port Neches. I hope you're getting the hell out of there. And I know some people in Lafayette who are like, no, we're battening down. We're going to ride this thing out. I'm like, man, y'all are crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how bad it'll be there, but it's on the wrong side of the storm. So, there's no reason to hang around. And, you know, of course, it's not Tuesday, but we already have a Tuesday texter. You know who's not dodging bullets? Unarmed black people, but you middle-aged white guys are just laughing about the boycott. Congratulations, Dickweed. We haven't said a word about it yet. We were going to get to it. We will get to it. But, you know, if you're talking about the prior show, talk to him. Don't bring your worthless
crap. Who did that, texter?
Yeah.
Oh, we can't worry about
listen,
that.
Listen, I'm not putting up with any of your nonsense texts today. When we talk about it, if you want to criticize what we have to say, great. But don't tell me what we're saying and what we're not saying ahead of time. Okay? So, in fact, you know what you need to do? You need to drive down to the beach in, you know, right off Sabine Pass and just sit outside all day. How about that? Why don't you do that? All night. Go go have a go get you a little tent right there on the beach.
You should take an umbrella, probably.
No, you don't need an umbrella because the damn storm surge is going to take you to Nacogdoches.
Well, it's weird because it's like, I mean, I guess it rained here earlier for a little while, for maybe 10 minutes. It was raining pretty hard. Are we to assume that that was part of the storm? And it's just, you know, that's just like one of the bands broke off and gave us a little water here. I don't know. Or was that just a regular old rainstorm?
I don't know. It looks like the bands are going to start getting us here pretty soon. I know some of them are already west.
I mean, I'm no meteorologist, but that might have been a little bit of remnants of what Marco was.
It could be.
It might have been that early where it died out, but the rain kept moving.
Well, I think that's what's kind of what has been over us for the last day and a half, which is why it's been kind of cool out.
And I had seen that, the winds for Houston in the last day have gone from Houston could see 45-mile-an-hour winds, which, when you consider what Louisiana's going to get, 45 miles an hour isn't that bad. And now it's down to Houston might get winds up to 25 miles an hour.
I don't think we're going to get that.
We're getting a gust.
But we'll talk to Eric at 4:30. We get 25-mile-an-hour winds around here, you know, not regularly,
that's a big deal.
It's not uncommon.
Like when you're talking about like in southern Louisiana, potential for 155-mile-an-hour wind gusts, that's what we call dangerous in the weather business.
All right, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776.
Is Mayor Becky Ames telling people to evacuate the Mont?
I hope she's not doing it from the Mont. I hope she's out of there by now.
She's actually probably stuck on I-10. That's her on the side of her car, like, hey, I just want to do this TikTok video.
She's telling people, if you don't get out now, nobody's going to be able to rescue you for several hours.
Listen,
like, at least a day until anybody can get to you, so get out.
I'll tell you a crazy tweet I saw was from the Vermilion Parish Sheriff in Louisiana. Vermilion Parish, southwest Louisiana, just south of Lafayette. Those choosing to stay and face this very dangerous storm must understand that rescue efforts cannot and will not begin until after storm and surge has passed and it is safe to do so. Please evacuate, and if you choose to stay and we can't get to you, write your name, address, social security number, and next of kin and put it in a Ziploc bag in your pocket. Like, basically, put a dog tag on so we can identify your corpse. Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah. I don't think he's wrong to do that.
I don't either. I mean, I hope you guys just get the hell out of there.
Yeah. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You need to know your place. Because it's about to get
paid. You're listening to The Blitz.
Hey, guys. Sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 832 says Cajun Navy number is 504-517-6289 if you want to call out for any Golden Triangle people who might need help. So write that. If you're sticking around, put that number in your phone. 504-517-6289. All right, let's talk about these boycotts. As I said yesterday, and I think people misinterpret it, I don't really care what, I don't turn to LeBron James for my guidance on
issues. He's not your moral compass.
I also don't turn to politicians. I try to look at people who study these things and whatever it is, who are experts on it, and listen to them.
I liked what Josh was saying when he was like, oh, I hate Sean Hannity, and I hate Don Lemon, and I hate Cuomo. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And he was like, I like Tucker Carlson. And I was like, oh, he just ruined it for me. I hate all of those political pundits.
But having said that, I have no problem with what these guys are doing. And I do think that and by the way, all the games have now been postponed today.
And, womp, womp.
Well, and look, even you were talking about this a little bit off air before the show started. It's not like Colin Kaepernick made changes, but it started a conversation.
Yeah.
And if this starts a conversation and gets some things done, then I'm all for it. And, you know, I do think the impact, you can have an impact doing things like this. As far as I'm concerned, you know, I think the people they're trying to reach aren't watching the NBA right now. So that part of it, I'm kind of like, but overall, I think it's, you know, yeah, they should be making a statement. And I still don't know enough about this whole situation. It looks bad. I mean, you shoot a guy 7 times, and then you have a white guy running around the street with a gun shooting protesters, and he doesn't get shot.
No, he gets to spend the night in his bed, and they picked him up this morning.
It's all a bad look, but, you know, and then somebody else was getting on me today for not, you know, talking more about it. And the reality is, guys, I'm kind of focused on our friends to the east and the immediate danger they're in right now. And I can't, yeah, I don't have enough in me to worry about everything. So, and I still don't know enough about it other than what I just said. But I mean, if I think it's totally within their right to protest, and if it makes a difference, you know, at least gets a conversation going, great. That's my take.
It's a good one.
So,
Texans player Kenny Stills has spoken up. NBA is showing us how it's done. Time to connect with local activists to help formulate demands. Do you think? Well, I mean, I also it's easy to say that. Will the NFL, like, would Kenny Stills be willing to say, okay, let's, all right, Texans, let's boycott this game on Thursday in a couple weeks? Do you think there's any chance that happens? My guess is no.
I don't know, and you know what? It may take the NFL to do it for it to make a difference.
It might. Because,
let's be honest, if the NBA and Major League Baseball said, hey, we're not going to play the rest of the season, about 3% of the population would cry.
Right.
The NFL does it, it's going to be a different animal. So, and this Aussie word on text line, you're getting your last text in ever. Admit that you started the show making jokes about the boycott, you coward. Because I made an over-under joke, you're offended? Dude, I'm serious. You need to drive east, get right on the path of this thing, go stand on the top of your car, and good luck in the next life, bitch.
I mean, by the way, if are people not allowed to have differing opinions on the protest? I mean, Josh and I had differing opinions on it, and I didn't call him the C word.
Yeah, well, no, it's not that. It's, you know, hadn't even weighed in on it yet, and this ass clown's trying to tell me what I think. And I got to tell you, it's people like you that are the bleeping problem. And you know what? I don't care what you think. I really don't. You got to get 2 texts in today. That's the last 2 you'll ever get on the show. Congratulations. Now go away. And yeah, I'm not taking any bleep today, okay? I'm going to be honest with
Fred's
you.
In a Tuesday mood.
No, I'm not in a Tuesday. I'm actually in a really good mood, but yeah, I'm a little worried about everybody who listens to this show. I'm worried that we might not have a tower tomorrow. And how are we going to broadcast? I mean, this is stuff that's right in our freaking face. And, you know, and I was concerned, but the way this thing blew up. Yeah. But, yeah, I think I'm de-emphasizing the text line anyway. I mean, the Twitch has kind of become the preferred thing. Because at least you have to put your name on it if you're going to be a dickweed. But, you know, I'm not eliminating all the good texters because of the idiots. So 936 is a good point, Fred. Hank Hill isn't watching the NBA from Chuck. Yeah, that's the thing. But I mean, people, change isn't happening. This is still happening, right? And this is their way to do it. So,
I mean, I guess you look at it, it's some sort of like I said to Josh, it does it change anything? Not really. Is it a conversation starter? Yes. And does it get people talking about it? Yes. I don't know what, I mean, I do think one thing Josh said that I agree with is you need to let people know what your demands are. Like what, if you're saying we're not going to play until this happens, you got to have something like that.
Well, but you have to start with, You have to start with something. And I think that's what they should all do. They should get together and say, all right, we'll start playing again when this happens, when we see this, and get it moving that way. And who says they're not going to?
Are they circling the Nugget and LeBurge on that map?
It looks like they are, yeah.
Yes. They're showing where the surge could, how high the surge could get. Right where that inland port is, because they're right there on the water.
Right.
How high that water could go.
And how are they saying the Nugget and LeBurge are effed?
I don't know if effed is the right word, but they're saying like the casino level, that bottom level,
yeah,
will probably be underwater.
Oh,
so
man.
That Weather Channel guy who's in Lake Charles, is he going to stay there? Because I'd like to see what happens if he does.
I mean, Cantori usually stays there through the, from what I've seen, through most of it. Either that or they get him out and right back in, because he's normally morning after when there's water everywhere, he's in waders and, yep, it rained.
Anybody who got laid off from Toyota Center during the pandemic, they're going to rehire them to go move all the gaming tables up to a convention level floor instead of that ground floor.
I mean, they got 2 hours; they better get on.
Yep, start working, boys. You want to make some bucks from old Daddy Tillman?
409 says, longtime listener, going to ride this out here in Orange.
Oh, why?
Well, he says, me and like 7 other families in the trailer park. Some are elderly; they have no choice. Going to drink beer and listen to your show in the front, in the porch. I'm sure that there's...
In the trailer park? That's where it's going to be the worst, right?
Man, I'm sure there's somebody who will come and get the elderly out of there, man. That's going to be... I mean, that's going to be a really bad spot. So... Oh, boy. Widowmaker from above. How in the bleep does a boycott on the NFL influence the police? That is the biggest sports league in the country. They're going to shrug their shoulders at the NBA or Major League Baseball.
And it's not necessarily the police. It's the government that's right. Willing to go after the police.
Right. And, well, not just that, but let's get actual conversations going with it. Now, I'll praise Kenny Stills on this because he sat down with Art Acevedo and they had conversations about how they can be better and how they can work together. And that needs to be happening around everywhere. So, oh, boy. Man. Eric Berger next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have 3-layer nano silver protection. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And as promised, as I was saying at the top of the show, the very best guy to follow for any of this stuff is Eric Berger, former comrade of mine from the Houston Chronicle. He does space, he does weather, and he had a tweet today. And Eric's not a guy who's a worst-case scenario guy. He always is going to give you all the possibilities. So a few things he sent out today really just kind of made me very concerned for what's about to happen. So wanted to have him on. Eric, appreciate the time, man. Thanks for coming on. Know it's a busy day for you.
Fred, it's my pleasure. I think it's been about 20 years since I visited you in your house after copy editing late one night. So it's been a while.
Yeah, it has, man. One of these days we got to get a beer together again and catch up. But
yes.
First question before we get to the impact a little bit up the coast, say inside Beltway 8, what kind of impact do you expect on the Houston area?
So it really doesn't look all that extreme, and not extreme at all, in fact. I think the biggest threat probably is power outages. If you remember Hurricane Rita back in 2005, some of your listeners will, that was a similar storm. It was probably a little bit closer than Laura's going to be, but it was a little bit less intense. And it knocked out power to about one-third of customers in the Center Point area. We don't think it'll be quite as bad tonight, but I think people ought to have some expectation maybe of some power outages for at least a few hours, if not a little bit longer tonight.
As we move farther east, where's the first part of the state where you start worrying about how bad the storm surge is going to be, and how far north of I-10 will you be to be safe of that as you get towards Beaumont and Orange?
Yeah, I don't see storm surge in Beaumont and Port Arthur area being that bad, because we're now pretty confident that they're going to be on the left side of the storm. So the surge in those areas may be 6 or 8 feet, which is not fun, but for most, you know, for most residents and businesses, they're above that. The problem in those areas, I think, is going to be winds. But again, it looks like the center of the storm is going to remain in Louisiana. And so, you know, they're going to see some hurricane force winds there, but maybe not quite as bad as it was during Rita, when the center of the storm tracked closer to Beaumont than we think Laura is going to.
Why has this storm been kind of guesswork for everybody? Because, yeah, especially, I mean, it seems like they've gotten these things down by a couple days before. They know exactly where they're going to go. Seems like the science has come a long way. Why was this one a little bit different? Why was it until today before you were, you know, kind of sure where it was going to go?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the reasons is that, you know, 3 days ago, this system was bouncing around Cuba. And for a track model to really get a good handle on a system like this, it has to have a very well-defined center of circulation. It doesn't need to have an eye, like a pinpoint eye like you see in a hurricane, but it really needs to have a center where all the winds are circling around. And as the system was kind of going up Cuba, the center was like, you know, being broken up and then reforming. And so the models were having a really hard time initializing kind of where that center was and then projecting an accurate track. And so until it got off Cuba, you know, on Monday, it was hard to really have a good idea. And then there was just a big spray in the models everywhere from the central Texas coast kind of up to southwestern Louisiana. And some of the models got it right, some got it wrong. But I have to say the National Hurricane Center had this track forecast about 2.5 days ago. And so they've been on the money. And at times it looked to me like it was going to come closer to Houston than it was, but in fact it didn't, and they proved right. So it's kudos to them.
So what are the areas of Louisiana that are going to get it worse? It looks like some of the things they're showing us from Lake Charles look bad. How far to the east is it going to have an impact?
I think it's going to have an impact pretty far to the east. I mean, certainly there's going to be a pretty bad surge all the way to the central Louisiana coast. It's not going to be that bad in New Orleans. But as you get to the sort of the center of the state and then points east, the surge is going to be quite devastating. The National Hurricane Center today described it as unsurvivable. And for people in low-lying areas there, you know that area. That's probably an apt description. And so it's going to be surge, and then it's going to be just deadly, deadly winds. You know, this could make landfall at 145, 150 miles per hour, and that is just, those are just extremely potent winds. And so for areas like Lake Charles and even a little bit further west of there, it's going to be really bad.
I was reading today that this thing is so big that it might get back into the Atlantic as it goes through the country and turn into a tropical storm again. Is that a real possibility?
Well, it's not that it's so big. It's that it is so intense right now. I mean, it does take time for storms to weaken over land, and this thing is just going to start booking it. I mean, it's already moving faster than storms typically do in the Western Gulf. It's moving about twice as fast as a lot of hurricanes. And so it's going to get inland, and it's found the edge of that high pressure system. And man, it's just going to ride around that thing like, you know, it's like you're going around a racetrack. And so it's going to have a couple days over land, but then it'll be back out of the Atlantic Ocean. And there probably will be enough of a center of circulation that it may redevelop and eventually become an extratropical cyclone.
Eric Berger's our guest. You can follow him at Space City WX. You can also follow him at SciGuy Space if you're kind of a space nerd, as Aaron is and as I am. He's also great at that. Getting back to Beaumont, you mentioned 6 to 8 feet for the storm surge. How does that compare to what Ike hit Galveston with?
Ike, as you may recall, was this huge tropical storm. Hurricane. Bigger. It was less intense than Laura, but. Much bigger, and so it was moving slower, so it had days and days to build up this monumental surge. I don't remember offhand, but I want to say it was like probably 12 to 15 feet in Beaumont. So the surge from Ike would have been larger than what they'll see on the backside of Laura.
All right, that's Eric Berger. I got one more question for you, because you had a tweet today that was pretty alarming when you talked about what would happen if this thing had hit at Freeport and what it would have done to Houston. Could you share a little bit of those thoughts and kind of how maybe we need to be aware of this and start putting a little pressure on our politicians to do something about it?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So when you break it down, there are three main threats from a hurricane. There's inland rainfall, which is not a threat with this storm since it's moving so fast, but Houston does know that threat. We had the reasonable worst-case scenario for that with Hurricane Harvey 3 years ago. I don't think it's going to get worse than that, so if we're planning for a flood storm, that's the one to plan for. You know, we had Ike back in 2008, and that had a pretty big surge, but that made landfall basically on the east side of Houston. And to really get a bad surge in the Galveston Bay, you really need to be on the west side. So if that storm had come in 50 miles further down the coast, then it would have produced an even more devastating surge. Even then, the surge from Ike was pretty bad, but that wasn't worst case. And frankly, we haven't taken any steps to build that. We haven't built an Ike dike. We haven't built this series of parks that Rice University is talking about. And then the final threat really is wind, Fred. And frankly, Houston has not seen a landfalling major hurricane with the strong winds coming over the city of Houston since 1961 with Hurricane Carla. So no one, almost no one living here really knows what a major windstorm can do to all the structures that have been built basically since 1961. So, you know, this storm, 140 miles per hour, if it coming in Freeport or San Luis Pass down there, it would have put those 145-mile winds over Galveston, and then they'd weaken some. But you're still talking about, you know, wind gusts above 150 miles per hour in the city of Houston. And that would have just blown roofs off. You're talking about power outages for weeks, if not months. It would have put a surge into the ship channel that would have flushed out all of the refineries and other energy companies there. I mean, it would have just been proved devastating for this region. So, you know, we really need to be thinking about this because we came within 100 miles of having this worst case scenario.
Well, you know, for years they talked about the worst case scenario in New Orleans, and then when it happened with Katrina, it pretty much was everything that they said it was going to be, with the bowl and how everything was going to be devastated.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about that here, so I'm glad you brought that up. And it is the kind of thing, because it is a worst case scenario. But as we've seen over the last few years, those things seem to be happening a lot more often.
I mean, we had it in 2005, and it turned. We've had it this year, and a similar storm, even more powerful, turned. You know, the next one might not turn. If this storm had come through the Caribbean, 100 miles south of its position, and followed this track, I mean, we would be, you know, Houston would be a ghost town because everyone would be gone, and then, you know, we would be coming back and the city would be changed forever in very bad ways. So it's worth thinking about, and hopefully, you know, we get some action on something like the Ike Dike. We continue to improve our flooding situation because that needs work. And then we have a real discussion about building codes and making sure our structures are capable of withstanding these kinds of winds, hardening the electrical grid, that kind of thing.
And not to be negative here, but we still aren't even to the peak of hurricane season, right? I mean, we still got a couple more, at least another month of having to keep an eye on the tropics.
Yeah, that's right. Here we are in 2020. You know, we're already on the M storm with Marco having come and gone, and the hurricane season doesn't peak for a couple more weeks. The peak is actually around September 10th. Now, the good news for Houston is that by the end of September, we're starting to see hopefully our first fronts, and the jet stream position has changed somewhat so that storms that form in the Caribbean or the Gulf are much less likely to track toward Texas. In fact, historically, after the last week of September, you know, there's about a 1 in 50 chance of a hurricane hitting anywhere in the state, so it's quite low. So we have, you know, I'd say we have about another month or 5 weeks, and then we can maybe start to take a little bit of a breath, because this last week sure has been nerve-wracking.
All right, that's Eric Berger. Go to spacecityweather.com to check out all his work. I mean, that's the first thing I check every morning is Eric's tweets when things are going on, so I can get updated, because he is the best. And follow him on Twitter, SpaceCityWX, SciGuySpace. Eric, appreciate you, man. And let's get a beer at some point, get caught up. It's been too long.
I'd love to, Fred. Thanks. Nice talking to you.
All right, man. Eric Berger. Okay. I feel better about Beaumont after that.
A little bit.
Yeah. In fact, it's almost, you know, I don't want to say best case scenario because, you know, it doesn't sound good for Orange, guys. But and it doesn't sound like New Orleans going to get hit that hard. But Lake Charles, and I guess it sounded like Baton Rouge maybe is going to be the far end over there. But, yeah. So 419 says, hey, Fred, my parents and I are holed up just north of your retirement property listening to the show. Blitzers for life. Hey, sounds like you guys are going to be okay there.
Everybody knows exactly where you live.
Well, I don't live there yet. You know what? And I will, just because, you know, third world problems, we hadn't started developing it yet. We were about to start. And,
good thing.
Yeah, I'm glad we waited because, I mean, the wind's going to, we got a lot of trees there. There's going to be some down trees all over the place. So.
Does that mean you're going to be out there with a chainsaw next weekend?
Well, probably, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
You're a man's man.
No, I'm not. I'm just a guy who's going to have a bunch of down trees.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about TGS Insurance. And listen, it's a good time to start thinking about homeowners insurance. I mean, if you don't have it, boy, bet you wish you did right now. But if you do have it, you know it's not cheap. And if you're paying too much, then you're just throwing money out the window. And it's so simple to find out what you could be saving. It takes just a text message. Grab your phone, text the word money to 232323. The system's going to ask for your address. Reply back with that. You'll get a full quote and proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and their savings are real. They've got a nearly perfect online rating with over 1,000 reviews, and the average customer saving nearly $900 a year. There's no need to wait till your renewal. They're going to save you money now, help you get refunded on your previous policy right away. They're open right now, and they can start saving you money right now. It's so simple. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving today with TGS Insurance.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. 713 asked, when Harvey happened, didn't a lot of Houston's lack of a zoning code come into question? You know, that's... And I think that's something that's always going to be an issue with things like this. But, yeah. And Hockley Dan says, good thing about Chainsaw Fred is that you won't have to wear a mask to be like Leatherface. True. Although I'll probably wear my Boomer Naturals mask. Just
not while you're chainsawing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're by yourself. There's no one around.
That's all right. So... Slopez says, yeah, Elon actually tweets at Berger. Dude is legit. He is. And, you know, I was just thinking about this. It's been about 20 years since we got off work and went and got drunk at my place. I think I've known Eric about 27 years now. It's another person I've known half my life. And, boy, if you want to start feeling old, you start thinking, man, I've known that dude for that long. You know, so, yeah. And of course, everybody's saying the postponement gives Russell Westbrook more time to get healthy. If you want to look at it that way, that's certainly one way to approach it. But yeah, I've always said I don't have a problem with people protesting, and if they want to do this, that's great. I know a lot of people get turned off by it. I really do, and that's okay. That's your choice. Half your life, bad math again. Joking. It's okay. I'm off by a year. How's that? And someone wants to know what's going to happen with the refineries in the bowl in Port Arthur. I don't think it's going to be as bad as they thought because it, and he indicated that it might even be a little farther east than, and if you're worried about, I know a lot of you guys had to live through Rita. It's east of the Rita track. Now it's more intense, but it's not as big as Rita was either. So, but you need to get out of there. Just to be safe, you know. Hell, come stay in Houston. We got plenty of hotel rooms, and, you know, it's all good.
And stay at Fred's house.
Well,
You've got room for a few.
I've got room for two people.
Okay.
I have a guest room for two people.
First two people to...
No, no, no. I have to know you personally.
Well, you'll get to know them.
Mm. No. No.
First two to call dibs, 713-780-3776. Text will work.
Mm. No, not text. You're going to have to be a Twitcher.
Okay. Twitcher. First two Twitchers.
Yeah. So, oh, well. But, yeah, I mean, I it's so hard with these things. It's just like everything else, right? You always get worst-case scenario, worst-case scenario, worst-case scenario, but then this could happen.
Yeah.
And I always like us to try to get people. The same thing with the COVID. As your non-pedophile positive COVID news person, yeah, I like to give you the good news when there is some. And, like, I've been giving you when the daily numbers decrease, I like to tell you that. Today we're not going to have a positive COVID update because the numbers went back up a little bit.
Damn it.
So, yeah. But, yeah, hurricane party at Fred's. Nope, nope.
Come on, Fred. Let's do it.
No, but you know what? It did remind me after Ike, like when everybody lost power, we had one friend in the medical center where they got hers restored right away. So like 12 of us staying in her one-bedroom apartment so we could have air conditioning.
I was telling Todd today when everyone around here keeps talking about Ike, and I, of course, lived in Austin when Ike hit Houston. So my biggest complaint about Ike was there was a bunch of refugees in my town clogging up the streets and traffic in an already bad traffic city. Traffic was even worse than it normally was, and we had just gotten an influx of Katrina refugees into Austin, and then Ike came. Now everybody from Houston, I'm like, guys, don't you guys realize Dallas is? Or you could just keep driving through to San Antonio, like.
But you nobody wants to go to Dallas. Come on,
I mean Dallas.
If you have
like
a choice, Austin or Dallas. There is no choice.
Well, there were too many people making that choice, and that was problematic for me. And now. I mean, I guess not this time, but the shoe's been on, it's on the other foot. But yes, now if I had to evacuate, I would rather go to Austin than Houston.
Yeah.
I would go to San Antonio, though, because that's where my brother lives, and I would stay at his house where I don't think San Antonio's ever been struck by a hurricane. We should have asked Eric Berger that, but I don't believe it's ever happened.
Not head on, but.
Not a direct damaging hit.
But they've.
It rained there.
I don't know who. There was one that did a lot of damage there, I think, that went through Corpus first. Somebody who has lived there can tell me.
Okay.
But, yeah, somebody says all plants have shut down in storm protocols to safely weather the storm. So I think that's true. And I do think there's, you know, if one of these things hit us and head on, like he was talking about, there's a lot of things. It doesn't matter what your protocols are. They're not going to be able to overcome it. So, what?
Did you have action on this Flyers Islanders game?
I did. I had Flyers. Did they just lose in overtime?
It's in overtime.
Oh, okay.
It was 3-0. I mean,
I know. Because Josh asked me before the game, and I wasn't going to play it. And then I started looking at it. And it's like, okay, I see they're going to make these adjustments, and I feel like. And I feel like if you get a 3-0 lead on the Islanders, you're good. If the Islanders get a 3-0 lead on you, you're dead. You got no shot because of the way they play. So I was feeling pretty good about that ticket. And then I saw on Twitter, I think while we were
last goal came with about 2 minutes left in regulation.
But, yeah.
And now it's an overtime. Yeah, I heard Josh bragging about 3-0 lead.
There it is.
And game over.
Yes.
Oh, Flyers come back.
Yeah, never in doubt. Come on.
Never in doubt.
See,
huh?
Yeah, you made me all worried. I got Flyers at plus 125 in that game.
Good for you.
So, yeah. And no, I have no opinion tonight. On the Stars. I like the way the Stars are playing.
Well, the Stars have won two of the two games.
I mean, they, you know, early on in the bubble, I mean, I picked Calgary to beat them because they were playing like crap. And then that game three in Calgary, where they were about to go down 2-0, and they score with 11 seconds left, win it in overtime, and then the floodgates open. They started playing like the team that I picked to win the Stanley Cup. So right now, I feel pretty good about the way the Stars are playing. So I might lean that way. The Avs are going to be desperate, but the Avs are also the most complete team. I think the Avs and Tampa Bay are teams that don't really have weaknesses. But, you know, the Avs are out without one of their best defensemen, and the Stars are playing really well. So I wouldn't fault you for betting the Stars. I'm not playing tonight.
What about Boston versus the Lightnings?
I like Boston in that series, even though what I just said about Tampa Bay. Thing about Boston is the advantage I would give to a team like Boston in Vegas is they are built for playoff hockey. And the Bruins got to the finals last year. Vegas got there 2 years ago. And they know how to win. Tampa tends to choke in the playoffs. And the Avs just haven't been there enough yet. But neither have the Stars. So I'm not going to be surprised by whoever wins that series. I was surprised that Vancouver was able to crush Vegas last. I thought they'd bounce back. And I actually gave out a Canucks plus 1.5 on the show. Didn't need the 1.5. So anyway. It's guess what? That may be the only sport we have right now. So
that's it.
Maybe people will care about my hockey thoughts. Yay!
Well, what are the odds, since it is Wednesday, yes, what are the odds that the hockey players say, we're not playing the game tonight?
I'm going to say 40%.
Okay. I was going to say I think there is a chance.
I think there's a real good chance. And listen, I know people think of, I don't really think of hockey as being the most woke sport, but, they've had all kinds of issues with racism, and they've been trying to address it over the last year. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they came out and said, you know what, we're going to stand with the NBA here.
Interesting you say that, because Chris Johnston, who reports for Hockey Night in Canada, tweeted out about 5 minutes ago, the NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly says there's no current plans to postpone tonight's game. Quote, I don't expect the league to initiate a game stoppage. Obviously, our players are free to express themselves in any manner they feel is appropriate, end quote.
That's kind of pushing it off on the players, isn't it? All right, quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.